Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Doug hates candy wrapper screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. That song speaks the truth. My name is Doug, and I do love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from the land of the free to not wear a mask, but fuck you if you don't, for another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, November 22nd, 2020. And you loved it so much that we're doing it again. It's another head-to-head, old-school Leonard Maltin game matchup between Jeff Tate, and Sam the Ma'am Levine. Hello, gentlemen.
Oh, are you hello, ready? Doug.
Are you ready to Roomba?
I'm ready.
Love Roomba.
Turn on your Roomba and clean up that floor.
Do they make noise? I don't even know what they do.
I mean, why aren't they getting the Are You Ready to Rumble guy to do ads for Roomba? It seems
oh my God,
like a perfect
yeah.
fit.
That's Michael Buffer who does those. Hell, he even has a brother, Bruce Buffer. He does the UFC stuff. Yeah. Get Bruce if you can't get Michael.
Either one of them. They're both suave and always put on a suit.
Absolutely. The Buffer yell. Brothers. Get a Buffer brother.
Yeah, they love to yell.
You are
about,
dead
about
right.
Readiness. They're Boy Scouts when Boy Scouts were mostly good. I don't even know if they were ever mostly good. They're probably creeps in Boy Scouts all the time. Sam.
Yes, Doug.
You won last time.
I did by the skin of my teeth. I got a lot of very lovely tweets about that. And the truth is, I literally named all five people I could remember from Safe House. I was very lucky those happened to be the top
right,
five.
But the whole game was all about negative names.
It was.
And people pointed out to me, hey, we still want to know what actors Leonard listed, because we'd just move on after
oh,
after you go negative, we just wouldn't even bother saying anybody else. do you think that, you can take down Jeff again today in three rounds?
I don't know about that. My degree of confidence is not high. I think the fact that we both played the way that we did last time, says that pretty much every time we do this, it could absolutely go either way.
I love that attitude. Everybody.
I wish you would have said I could take him down in two rounds.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. If I was saying three rounds, like that was like some sort of spectacular play. I mean, that's how many we're going to have to play to pick a winner usually, but two rounds is possible.
It is.
So, Jeff,
we'll see.
What have you been doing to train for this rematch?
I've just been reading the Leonard Maltin book since the moment the last episode ended. I have done almost nothing but read that book.
That's which great, edition dude. Do you own? Do you know?
I have the 2015 edition. I'm almost through the A's.
All right. You haven't been like running up steps or eating eggs or any of that stuff.
Oh yeah, but that, I didn't count that. That's what I do. I run up steps to eat. My eggs are upstairs.
Have you been listening to rousing themes by Tom Conti?
As much as possible.
So normally, since we tape the shows on Sunday afternoons and the box office report is generally almost completely in by this point of day, Pacific time. I today just completely spaced on even looking it up. So if anybody's interested in what movies are doing well at the drive-in theaters, you can look it up yourselves at Box Office Mojo. Now I'm curious what number one is, though, because... did something even open this last weekend? I guess did Freaky with Vince Vaughn?
I think that's the second weekend of that
movie.
Oh, is it? Ugh, it shows you what I know.
I'm just going to go ahead and look this up. Box Office Mojo. And one week I did the box office and then people wrote to me that I was wrong because all of the numbers hadn't come in yet.
Oh,
just like our current election situation. I got to do a recount to figure out if Freaky was number one. Oh, it's number one again, Freaky. And oh, making a move. This is rare in the North American box office. The War with Grandpa was number three last week, but it made a move to number two, supplanting Let Him Go, the Kevin Costner movie. But coming in at number five at the nation's drive-ins is the Santa Claus. So I think Christmas movies are going to dominate.
That's still playing, huh?
Yeah. It's been in the theaters all this time.
It's amazing.
They got, Elf is back on screens. So it might make a move, which has got to be extra embarrassing to people who just put a new movie out. That the top movies are just old movies. But Freaky is number one with 1.2 million and a grand total of 5.5 million.
That's pretty freaky.
I want to see it, but I'm going to wait until it's on a streaming thing for free, probably.
What is it? I've never even heard of it.
Oh, Freaky is they take the Friday off. And turned it into a horror movie where Vince Vaughn is a serial killer who switches bodies with a teenage girl.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's still got serial killing, but I assume the girl does the killing while Vince Vaughn sits around pretending to be a teenage girl concerned about other things. I hear he really throws himself into it. So I'm interested to check it out. But that's our box office rapport for this week. Now I'd like to do with you guys, before we get into the game today, I'd like to do a little bit of a memory game. You could have written it down because I did warn you ahead of time. But a lot of times when I say to people, what was the last movie you saw? I get this really complicated answer that includes TV shows and, also they'll say movies, but they'll say three or four movies in a row quickly. Like, oh, I saw this, 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 and this. And I'm just like, no, I just want you to bring up the title of one movie and we'll all discuss it for whatever length of time we think appropriate. And then we'll move on. But you can't, comedians, you can't really.
Yeah.
Doug, I've been working for years on a helpful handbook for guests that you want to book onto the show for them to read. No, I've got 11 chapters.
Is that one of your peeves when you're on the show that you can't just answer the question?
It's one of my peeves because it's one of your peeves. in as much as first off, you're ignoring the question. And secondly, now Doug is going to yell at you. And you know what? You've earned it.
Yeah, so I was very clear with you guys, because what I want to do is I want to talk about, and I know this can be part of the thing is when you just spring that question on people, they just it's kind of like a lot of questions what did you wear yesterday or what'd you have for dinner? Sometimes you just can't recall immediately. So that's another fun thing is listening to somebody try to remember what the last movie they saw was.
Yeah.
So what I'd like
luckily
to do
for
you,
you
guys,
well, luckily for you, Doug, I'm like Mary Lou Henner. I can remember every movie I've ever seen and the specific day I saw it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you regretted making out with Tony Danza.
I have no regrets things. There, Doug. You know I have no regrets there.
Does that, for Taxi fans out there, did that make sense? Did she and his character ever hook up?
I don't know.
I don't know if they did, but at least they worked together, so it still tracks.
It's plausible.
Yeah. Okay, so there are no wrong answers, obviously, because you could just lie if you want and say whatever. but the basic idea is I want to hear your last three movies that you saw, starting with the one you saw most recently. Sam will answer that, then Jeff will answer that, and then I will. And then we'll go through until we've each said three recent movie experiences. And we'll start with you, Sam, because you really have this figured out.
I guess. And for the record, I did not have to fudge any of this. These are all legitimately the last three movies I saw. The most recent one is a movie you've probably never heard of called Dying of the Light. At least I think
that
that's
sounds
what
like
it was
an
called.
Expression that I know that I've heard or something, because I've heard those words put together that way. Or is that just what people say when somebody's actually on their deathbed?
I don't know. The dying of the light might be an expression, but
oh,
in this
yeah, that
particular
could be from a poem or a lyric or something.
Right. Right. But in this particular movie's case, I'm very sure, or at least very most as sure as I can be without actually looking it up again, that the title is Dying of the Light. And it stars one Nicolas Cage. And the late, great Anton Yelchin. And it was written and directed by Paul Schrader.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And it came out in 2014, and it was yet another one of these movies you've never heard of, starring Nicolas Cage, that looks like it was shot for $1 million. Like, they shot it in Bucharest, Romania, which is the only reason I continued watching it, because, Bucharest is in, one of the first or two shots, and I recognize the location. And I was like, oh, what the hell movie is this? And then I just wound up watching all of it. And it is not good.
I'm just stuck all the way back on Anton Yelchin.
Is it Yelchin?
I don't know, but I've never heard it. I've never heard it pronounced the way you did, which made me think, oh, I've been saying it wrong all this time.
Oh, I couldn't tell you. No, that's just, I don't know if it's Yelchin. But please, someone who knows definitively, not your best guess, but knows definitively, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter and let me know phonetically how it is pronounced so I never make this
yes,
mistake.
Yes, phonetically. Don't just write out Yelchin and say, that's how it's pronounced.
Right.
Which way do you pronounce it, Jeff?
Yelchin.
Yeah. I think it's Yelchin, but I also okay. enjoy changing it up, so Yelchin's a fun way to say it.
Okay.
I say Antone, though.
Antone Yelchin.
Weird.
All right. Dying of the Light. Thank you very much for your honest answer.
My pleasure.
How'd you watch it? Is it streaming somewhere?
No, it was on cable, and I watched it because I won't say the name of it, but I watched it because the next movie I'm going to give you, I was actively enjoying watching, and then Dying of the Light came on immediately after it.
Oh, I see.
That's how I found it.
I often think, oh, wouldn't it be fun you know, when you're watching cable or when you're watching one of these streaming services that tries to recommend what you should watch next, wouldn't it be fun to just, whatever it is, just watch it? And I never do it because I immediately already have a problem with whatever they're suggesting.
Sure.
Okay, Jeff, what do you think? I mean, what do you think? What do you know is the last movie that you saw?
I mean, again, like Sam, it's a movie you've never heard of. It's called Thor. Just
is that,
that
how
first
you pronounce
Thor
it? Because I yeah. pronounce it sore.
Maybe I'm saying I've only read it. I've never heard it said out loud.
Okay.
I've never seen Thor.
That's the strangest part of the movie Thor, is they never refer to him by name.
No,
they really have to they have to come up with a lot of ways to talk to him, because they're always like, "Hey, you with the hammer and stuff like that."
Mm-hmm. Hammer guy.
Yeah.
I'd never seen it before, and it was good. I thought it was going to be boring. I don't know why I thought. I mean, not boring, but boring for one of those kind of movies. And but no, I enjoyed it. It was interesting.
Can I recommend, if you want a boring Thor movie, can I recommend Thor 2?
Well, that's what they recommended. That's what came up after. When I watched all of Thor, they were like, maybe you want to watch Thor 2? And I was like, "Man, come on. I think I know better.
I'm Thor enough at this point."
See, that's how I pronounce it.
Okay. So, but I'm glad that you liked it. Maybe I need to go back and watch it, because I don't think, for me, Thor as a individual character didn't really click until he started hanging out with the Avengers more, and he ended up being one of the more comedic characters. So then when they finally had Taika Waititi direct Thor Ragnarok, that just went in a beautiful direction for me. Like, I really, that's my favorite Thor movie.
I can say that I think that, I mean, you're probably right. Like, I think you're right. What I liked the most about this movie was, like, when he was funny in this, it seems like it probably is like carryover from that. I think he's funny already. And and there's a lot of like, after seeing almost every Marvel movie, and definitely seeing the last two Avengers movies, how everything clicks together, seeing some of the pieces come up earlier is entertaining to me. I get it now. There are things that, like, they show the gauntlet, and I'm like, oh, I know what that is.
Yeah. It does. It does help to put everything in its place and perspective. Good answer. Last night I watched a movie that you guys haven't heard of, unless you've been scrolling around on Hulu in the last day or two. It's called The Sunlit Night.
Oh, wow.
Night is spelled N-I-G-H-T. And I watched it because it stars Jenny Slate and Zach Galifianakis.
Oh.
And Gillian Anderson.
Wow.
She was less of a reason, but it was still interesting to me because she's killing it as a Margaret Thatcher on The Crown. Mm. I mean, that's what people are saying. I there's no way I'm going to watch The Crown. But The Sunlit Night is about Jenny is the artist who goes to Norway to help a guy do an art installation that's basically painting the inside and outside of a big barn different colors of yellow. And if that doesn't sound exciting, let me try to make it sound exciting. Zach plays a guy who dresses up like a Viking all the time, and at one point presides over a Viking funeral.
Wow. So is this a sequel to Thor?
This sounds a lot like Thor.
No, it's not. It's called The Sunlit Night because, it's so far northern. It's in northern Norway, so I guess it's a similar situation to Alaska where...
the land of the midnight sun.
The sun doesn't go down. So very, or like the movie on Insomnia, like Jenny Slate's like Al Pacino. I can't sleep.
Oh my God. If you tell me that there is a movie that exists with Jenny Slate doing an Al Pacino impression for even 10 minutes, I'm in.
Well, she says that she does need darker drapes, but she doesn't say it like in his voice.
Oh man.
Gonna need darker drapes.
Can we remake Insomnia with Jenny Slate as the Pacino role, Zach as the Robin Williams role? They're both doing their best impressions of those actors. Can we do that?
That's an interesting area you're getting into there. The remake where the people try to do impressions of the original actors, because that feels like that doesn't happen very much.
It should happen a lot more. I'm sure there's
examples, but even when they did a shot for shot remake of Psycho, the actors kind of put their own spin on how the lines were read.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to you, Sam. What was the second most recent movie that you saw?
The second most recent movie I watched also starred Nicolas Cage, but it was a much better film called Raising Arizona.
Oh, very nice.
Yep.
I mean, pound for pound, like there's hardly a funnier movie that also sticks to a story that isn't just about the gags. That it has a whole storyline, but then so many funny things happen and are said.
Yep.
Really, really fun movie.
I agree. And I was fascinated.
I can't see the word fart written on a wall without thinking of that movie.
Oh, nice. I was really taken by Holly Hunter, and I was like, my God, Holly Hunter has had this incredible career. And then my gal and I got into a conversation, like trying to remember all the movies where Holly Hunter was either the full on lead or at least the female main character. She's had this great transition where she legit was basically the main character, the female lead character from essentially Raising Arizona all the way through like the end of the 90s. And then the last 20 years or so, she has chosen so well in finding great supporting roles for herself, and I am very taken with her as an actor. I think she's tremendous.
She's very good.
The Firm. You remember her? She got Oscar nominated for 10 minutes in The Firm.
Oh, she's so good though.
I mean, you got to be pretty good actor to even pretend to blow Gary Busey under a desk.
There it is. Do you know, I was thinking of the same joke, but I couldn't remember that Gary Busey played her boss.
Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
Right. To blow Buddy Holly under a desk.
All right, Jeff, what's your second most recent movie experience?
The World's End.
Oh.
Cornetto trilogy. Had you seen it before?
I saw it in the theater and I didn't love it. And then when I watched it this last time, I did love it.
What do you think you didn't love about it? Just like the tonal shift, or?
I just think I didn't get it. I think that I wasn't good enough at watching movies where I was like, why am I supposed to like Simon Pegg? And then I realized this last time watching it is like, oh, you're supposed to feel that way about him. he's supposed to make you crazy. You're not supposed to be like, I want to be like that or whatever. Like he's like, it's just a weird, like, I didn't know how to watch movies. I wasn't as good at it.
Well, also just a second time through can be a healthy thing in terms of seeing something differently, especially when a character is unlikable, because like a lot of times you're like, well, for instance, the movie Twister, I find Philip Seymour Hoffman to be so incredibly irritating in that movie. And so the first time I saw it, I was like, that guy sucks. I like hated him. And then, you know, all these years later, I realized, oh, he's just an amazing actor who is playing an irritating character.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
So I'm glad that you were able to fix that. But I also feel like a lot of people found the shift to crazy fighting aliens, wasn't for them. I feel like even Leonard Maltin was kind of like, well, it just gets to be too much for me personally. Cause I really do enjoy just watching those five actors run around from pub to pub and argue with each other about stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They were good. They were, I mean, I liked all of them. I think also I'm their age now also. Maybe that helped a little bit.
Yeah. So whenever you
finally caught up, it's time to
leave. Whenever it's time to leave, you say, let's boo boo.
Now I do.
Because I love that little piece of business in the movie, like where you know, friends have some expression they use all the time that has some really, like, just came out of this weird, it's, you had to be there sort of explanation.
Right.
And that's what they say.
And only one guy's really kept it up. The rest of them don't even remember.
Yeah, the rest are like, all right, with the let's boo boo. What the fuck? Okay, so my number two is a movie I saw night before last. I got to go to the drive-in kind of premiere cast and crew screening of the movie written and directed by Alan Ball called Uncle Frank. And I already told Jeff a little bit about this movie, that because I think he'll like it, even though it's basically a drama with some light moments. But it's just got just the most insane lineup of actors all pretending to be related to each other. It's got Judy Greer, Margot Martindale, Stephen Root, Steve Zahn. I mean, all of the top Steves are in this movie. And it stars Paul Bettany as Uncle Frank, hitting like some, you know, character notes and things that I haven't seen him do before. And he's always been a good actor, but I feel like, you know, especially with playing Vision and all those Avengers movies, people, you know, aren't getting to really see what he's like. And so I very much recommend this movie, and, you know, also don't want to say much more about it, because what little I knew about it going into it was a little bit of a spoiler. And it's just the sort of like the log line for the movie, to me, takes you too deep into what's going to happen. Like, I wish they would just, I don't know. It's, I guess they got to sell these things, so they got to give people an idea what it's going to be. But Uncle Frank, it's on, it comes out Wednesday night on Amazon. And I think it'd be a good movie to watch with your family, whether you get along with them or you don't. I think that it'd be illuminating in some ways if you watch it together.
I'm only comfortable watching a movie called Uncle Frank if it's about Jimmy Kimmel's late Uncle Frank.
Well, that's the thing that I thought was so funny about, you know, it's just not a wacky movie, but they gave us things with Uncle Frank written on them, including hoodies. So I have this really nice hoodie that says Uncle Frank on it. And, you know, hopefully the movie's a big enough hit that people will just see it and go, oh, it's that movie. Otherwise, it really does look like I'm just walking around with a tribute to Jimmy Kimmel's uncle.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing to do, because that guy was a great dude.
He was delightful.
Very nice man. I never saw him in anything less than a bad mood, but he also had that security guard gene in him where he was always ready to try to stop something from happening.
Oh. I guess that gene never dies. You know, he was Sinatra's personal guy for a minute there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he takes care of people for sure. Or, you know, do.
Yeah.
All right. So what's your number three, Sam, if you can remember back that far? For some people,
I can remember. No, this was only a few days ago. I've been trying to watch more movies lately instead of the Game Show Network.
Don't get me started about the Game Show Network, though, or Buzzer. I mean, I can flip back and forth between those two 24/7.
Yep.
I love it. So and plus, also, they have access to the, like, there's a couple really good shows that they have access to, but, like, in the case of Alex Trebek, they don't have Jeopardy episodes that they can show. So they just had to show Concentration all day as a tribute to Alex Trebek.
And, this must be Buzzer, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it was, you know, it was fun watching Concentration, but as a show, I never really got into it.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead. What's your third movie?
The movie was the Stallone-Lithgow classic 1993's Cliffhanger.
Well, you know, speaking of game shows, Cliffhangers is one of the great games they play on The Price is Right.
Price is Right. Yodeling.
I love that game, and I love that Drew Carey came on Doug Loves Movies and said, because you have to guess the price of three different items.
Right.
And then, you know, for every dollar you're off, the mountain climber goes up the hill And like I saw one the other day where the mountain climber just shot up the hill and flew off the edge. It was so funny because the woman was like $30 or $40 off. But but Drew said on Douglas Movies, and then when asked, are you sure you can say that? He said, yeah, it's not a problem. He goes, for the first prize, you should bid $25. For the second prize, you should bid $35. And for the third prize, you should bid $45. You'll win every time. And ever since he said that, every time I watched him play that game, the numbers add up to the person would win every time if they just said those three things.
Yeah, he's definitely not supposed to say that.
Well, but here's the thing, Sam. I think the reason he can't feels like he can and does say that stuff is because you got to think about it in terms of a person's got to come to Price is Right, stand in line and have a personality that gets picked to come on down. Then they have to beat three other people in bidding to get up on stage. And then the game has to be cliffhangers. And also the show's budget is set to give there could be a winner in every game and nobody at Price is Right is like, oh shit, we gave away too much stuff. Like, people can win all the way through. That's what they're hoping will happen, kind of. So I think that's why he can do that. My other favorite thing is how people are always surprised in the golf game when he goes over after they miss the putt, he goes over and flips the sign and says, that's why we call this game hole in two. And then he gives them a second chance. Yep. And the contestants are 9 times out of 10 surprised by that, even though it happens every time they play that game on that show.
Been happening for 40 years.
Yeah. But I think that's where he's coming from is just like, you know, it's just fun to have people win. And so if somebody uses his instructions for how to win cliffhangers, like he's certainly not going to say it to them on the show.
Right. I wish he would, though.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, I wish I could be, you know, I don't want anything bad to happen to Drew, but I can't be on that show until they get a new host.
Oh, are you trying to get on?
I haven't tried because you can't be on a show where your friend is the host. Game shows won't allow that.
Well, back when Bob was hosting, Bob Barker, did you get on then?
I didn't try. Oh, I was on I was on Scrabble with Chuck Woolery.
Oh, dude.
And we remain not friends to this day.
That's why you got on. Chuck Woolery only rings on people he's absolute enemies with.
Anybody can be on a Chuck Woolery show. No one, that guy's friends with nobody.
Nobody.
How does the movie, the motion picture cliffhanger hold up?
I tell you, it reminds me of so many action-y movies of the 80s, 90s, where, you know, it's this horrible, harrowing adventure. And then in the last scene of the movie, when the three main characters are safe, they're like chuckling to themselves, you know, they're like telling the chopper that's circling the area, take your time. We're good to relax. And it's like, wait a minute. Didn't several of your closest friends in life get brutally murdered by these criminals hours ago? How are you in a place mentally where you're like chuckling at all?
It happens in so many of those kind of movies. Well, we survived, so things are great.
Things are fine. Sure, my best friend was eaten alive by a mountain lion. Big deal. So other than that silliness, which was not unique to Cliffhanger, but really just all movies of that era, I tell you, it's an exciting movie. I mean, it's predictable and it's, you know, ridiculous in portions. But I remember when I was a kid, I saw that movie in theaters, and it was only the second time I remembered like identifying John Lithgow in a movie, the first time being Harry and the Hendersons. And so, you know, as George Henderson, he's delightful. He's a wonderful man. And then the second thing I ever saw him in, he's the most evil guy in Cliffhanger.
Oh yeah. He swings both ways.
Oh man, does he ever. And so I just remember being like, why is George Henderson so mean in this movie? God, we need to get Harry back in this movie. If we had Harry here, it'd be a whole different movie. I mean, they're up in the mountains.
I hope that kid didn't see Blowout.
Eventually he did. Eventually he saw Blowout. Raising Cain. Yep, that's right. But then I saw The World According to Garp and it all came back.
Ricochet? Wasn't he the bad guy in Ricochet?
Yes, yeah. he's been the bad guy half of the time,
and he's in 100 movies.
Yeah.
Like he's either a super sweet guy or really, you know, Dr. Emilio Lizardo, of course. But anyway, this is taking way longer than I anticipated, but it is fun. Okay. What's your third movie, Jeff?
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Oh, man.
And the reason for that is because you watched them, all of them.
I watched all of them. If you wanted to go back 8 more, it's just the Harry Potters backwards from then on.
I do not want to go through them. We talked earlier today on Periscope about how you're not exactly sure which one was your favorite, but you're thinking maybe Half-Blood Prince?
You guys mind if I take a quick bathroom break while you're talking Harry Potter?
Yeah, go for it.
Cool, thanks.
I think it was the one right before the Deathly Hallows. Hang on,
Jeff, let me give you the answers in Leonard Maltin before he gets back.
Nice. Oh, man, the listeners would love it. I'd really play it up. Let Sam think he's going to win and then be like, -4.
Let me ask you this. Since most people have seen all the Harry Potter movies, I don't feel bad about spoiling it. But didn't you think Dobby was an insanely annoying character in the second movie? And then when he died in the sixth movie, it was really sad.
Yes.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. It's so weird. I was so happy to never see Dobby again after the second one. And then when he showed back up, I was like, ugh, this guy, he's so irritated. And then I cry every time I see his death scene. It's so incredibly moving.
They really brought that character around. I mean, I think the thing that really saved him was that he just was gone for 4 movies.
Yeah.
And then when you bring him back, you're just like, oh, yeah, I remember this guy.
Oh, that was weird. Okay. And I guess while we're waiting for Sam to get back, I'll tell you my third movie, which again, we probably discussed over Periscope. I watched Enough Said with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and it was the last major role of James Gandolfini, directed and written by Nicole Holofcener, whose movies I like very much. And I think it's a really good, you know, for lack of a better word, COVID watch. Like it's a, you know, obviously the story takes place pre-COVID, so it's pleasant in that sense, but it's just a very pleasant movie, even though there are conflicts and things that happen in the story, but it just really was very soothing overall, very pleasant.
I did. I saw that in the theater. I really liked it.
Yeah. I just got back and I didn't hear the name of the movie that you said you watched, Doug. So, but I did hear that you saying it's pleasant. It's a nice, you know, a COVID watch. So I'm going to assume it was Requiem for a Dream.
I mean, I don't know. If I were Jeff, I'd be so scared right now because you really, really know your movies and you really know.
Pick up on context clues.
It was Enough Said.
Oh, so close, though. Those movies are so close together. It's absolutely like Deep Impact Armageddon.
So you're back just in time. You're back just in time, Sam, for me to say we're going to take a quick break. And, and then we're going to play the Leonard Maltin game, the OG Leonard Maltin game, right after this. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back. And I mean, the anticipation for this. I wonder if people were annoyed that we talked for so long before getting to the game today, but I really enjoyed talking about all those movies.
That was great.
Anyone who's listening who does not know how the original Leonard Maltin game works, too bad. Just like the beloved game show Jeopardy, where they never recap what the rules are. They just play the game. And then you have to figure it out. Remember the first few times you watch Jeopardy? You're like, I don't understand what's happening here. And then eventually you go, okay, now I think I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then I still love it whenever somebody forgets to phrase something as a question on there. I'm like, I'm as snappy about it as Alex is. I'm like, phrase it as a question. even though also phrasing it as a question just makes everybody sound like the most lacking in confidence you can be when answering a game show question.
Yep.
What is asparagus?
What is the quince?
Because you don't know if the person is guessing or not. You don't know if they're really guessing or if they know it. when they answer like they're guessing. Jeff lost last time, so he gets to go first in picking a category today. And it's the first person to 2 points will be the winner. So this can go quickly. That's part of why I spent a lot of time just talking about movies. Jeff, would you like Days of Future Near or Top of the World or Kutcher If You Can?
I think I want the Kutcher If You Can.
Okay. That, of course, is films of the great Ashton Kutcher.
Finally.
The year, Jeff, is 2006. Leonard gives this movie 3 stars. He says, he calls it a yarn. And he also says it goes through its paces with energy and conviction. And then he names 11 actors. How many names do you need to come up with the title of this
movie? Wow. 11 actors, a yarn. I love when Leonard says it's a yarn.
He calls a lot of things. I don't think he knows what yarn is.
Yeah, he just says it like it's a story. Like, you mean like a movie?
He's just changing it up. You got to call it. You got to call it something. I don't know what officially makes something a yarn. I haven't pieced that together. Maybe I should look it up in the dictionary.
And it's 2006.
Maybe it's because it's a ball of fun.
I'm going to say 11 names.
Strong opening bid. We go to Sam Levine.
I am going to say -2.
All right. I'm going to say name it.
Yeah, here we go.
I don't know. I could be the wrong year on this one, but it's because he's been in so few movies. Is it The Guardian starring Kevin Costner and Ashton Kutcher?
That is correct.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's not in a whole lot of movies. So
this is what you're up against, Jeff.
But still, how did you do that? That's not a yarn.
It isn't?
The clues were useless to me. It was the year.
Well, the clues are supposed to be useless. I don't want to give you anything that's going to totally tip it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I would have guessed Just Married.
Oh, no, that was earlier, and I only know that. Well, doesn't matter how I know that.
What was the, there's Why Him? Or no, not that. What was the one with Bernie Mac called?
Oh, Guess Who, which was the Guess Who's Coming to Dinner remake, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's clever that they shortened that title. Mm-hmm. Why Him, I guess, was Bryan Cranston in a similar situation.
Yes, with James Franco.
Yeah, Kutcher was in one of those strings attached sex movies.
Right. He was in No Strings Attached.
with
Natalie Portman. Jesus.
Natalie Portman, thank you. And then Friends with Benefits was Kunis and Jay Timms.
Yeah, and they traded partners, and they're all four happily married to this day.
It's crazy how Justin Timberlake married Natalie Portman, and nobody talks about that.
You'd think it'd get some press.
And then he was in What Happens in Vegas. Now I'm obsessed with just naming all the Ashton Kutcher movies. He was briefly in he's in the first scene in Ocean's 11.
No,
that's the other guy, Topher.
That's Topher.
Oh, there wasn't a second guy from 70s Show?
No,
there was.
Oh, no, you know what? You know what it is? I remember it's because Topher in the next one in Ocean's 12 has that funny scene with Brad Pitt where he's the only one that cameos from that first movie. And yes. And he's wearing a thing around his wrist, a little string.
Oh, yeah, the Kabbalah string.
Yeah, and he says it doesn't work. And that's a total nod to Ashton Kutcher wearing those things. So I thought that was pretty funny. Topher's good at making fun of himself and his friends. All right, so let's see. Sam's got 1 point. That means Jeff gets to go first again. If Jeff doesn't win this round, it's Sam's game.
Oh, man.
And I'll have to, the search will continue. I'm out there every day trying to find somebody that can beat you at this game, Sam.
Look, I just got on that one. I wasn't even 100% on the year, and that could have gone either way. I need to be. Oh,
so that's why you bid -2 because you were like really uncertain.
Well, I here's the thing. I never saw that movie. I never saw the movie, so I couldn't name anyone else other than those two.
I saw it, and I feel like I never saw it as well. Yeah. Let's see. Let me see who else is in it, just out of curiosity. Yeah, third build was Melissa Sage Miller.
Of course.
Yeah, fourth build is Bonnie Bramlett.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to get to the fifth build to get to somebody that we know and love, Clancy Brown.
Oh, Clancy!
Yeah. And very lowly build in it, but in it apparently is Dulé Hill.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so Jeff, you got to pick again between Days of Future Near or what was the other one I said? Oh, Top of the World or High Robot.
Days of Future Near.
Okay. This movie is from 1997.
Category? What's the category mean?
Oh, okay. If you're going to be all picky about...
about the game playing properly, I guess.
Yeah, but I could have been thinking about saying it as the third or fourth piece of information I give you. In fact,
you could have. But that would be
the year is 1997. Now it's movies that took place in the near future when they were released.
Got it. Very important to know.
The year is 1997. 3 stars from Leonard. He calls this movie very well acted and bracingly intelligent.
Ooh.
But yet it still manages to only secure 3 stars. And then he lists 12 individuals who appear in the film. How many names do you think you can get it in, Jeff? Tate?
Okay, I'm going to say... -1.
Ooh.
This is going to get ugly. I can feel it. Sam, what do you think?
I don't know. Dare I ask, could you please remind me the clues once more?
Sure. Took place in the near future when it was released. Mm-hmm. 1997 is the year it actually came out. 3 stars. Bracingly intelligent, very well acted. And Jeff thinks he can get it with -1 name.
I believe.
Brace yourself, Jeff.
I can do it in negative three names.
See, I knew it. I'm not sure. Big bid.
No, I just, No, I am sure. I mean, you know, as sure as I can be without you telling me it's correct. But I'm just saying, like, sometimes I need to hear it a second time to focus in on what my brain thinks it might be.
Mm-hmm. You still think it might be something, but you know you can say negative three names.
Well, my point is, if it is the movie that I think it is, I'm confident that I could name the top three billed actors. But so my confidence is high that if it is this movie, I'll probably guess the three names, but it could be the wrong movie. That has happened.
It has. I think it was a Wednesday.
Oh, stop it. I've definitely guessed wrong before. Definitely, definitely.
Yeah,
I can't, also, I can't remember.
Just strategically, you have to be pretty confident to go negative three.
It's, again, my degree of confidence in the negative, the amount of negative names is not my big guess here.
Yeah.
How do I want to go down this round? Do I want to go down letting Sam get it right, get two right in a row, or do I want to go down swinging?
I don't know. Negative three is the bid.
Well, I don't know if you've, if it's the movie I'm thinking of, I can go, I'm fairly confident I can name four people that are in it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it might be the right order.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what? I don't know. That fourth hole is so hard to guess. It's so hard to know who's going to be in that fourth hole. Maybe it's Sam Shepard. Maybe it's Brendan Gleeson. You never know who's going to be.
You never know. Maybe Vera Farmiga's stuck in there. You don't know.
I can't tell you that this movie does not start with the letter A. Man, God damn it, Sam. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to say negative four.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, my degree of confidence now drops significantly in my ability to name the top five actors. So Jeff Tate, name that movie.
This is so exciting.
Okay. I'm going to say it's Gattaca and Ethan Hawke, Uma Thurman, Jude Law.
That's
Alan
exactly
Arkin.
What I would have said. Oh, I wouldn't have said Arkin.
Anyway, could Jeff, could you repeat your answer that Sam decided to scream over?
I'm so sorry. Screamed?
Alan Arkin. Wait, Alan Arkin was the one he talked over. Yeah. Gattaca, Ethan Hawke, Uma Thurman, Jude Law, and Alan Arkin.
Yeah, Alan Arkin didn't score that fourth slot. It's a real, there's a real
fuck,
unfortunate person in the fourth slot. Who would you guess it is, Sam?
Oh, if a gun to my head, I probably would have said Lauren Dean.
Yeah, he didn't even make that slot. Lauren Dean and Alan Arkin come in after Gore Vidal.
Gore Vidal, damn.
Yeah.
The mission director?
Mission director.
No, Gore Vidal is the famous, you know, pundit and author and all around.
He's the mission director in Gattaca.
All around smart guy.
I don't even remember. That might have been Ben Gazzara.
Yeah, but
God
then,
damn it.
But then Lauren Dean, then Alan Arkin, Xander Berkeley, Blair Underwood, Ernest Borgnine, Tony Shalhoub. I mean, this movie's stacked. And Jane Brooke and Elias Koteas.
Yeah, he was.
Oh yeah, he plays
Hawk's
the father.
Dad.
The father. Yeah.
Well, you did it again, Sam. 2 points. Oh, you win.
Thank
Congratulations.
You.
Jeff.
Thank you.
You had the three.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go negative three?
That's the thing about it.
Because you went negative three.
No, but you got to bid first. Why'd you only go negative one?
I didn't think you would go to negative three.
Well, you don't. Remember you were playing against Sam?
No, I mean, now I know more.
He might not know it because it makes you think, oh, maybe I should just only play it safe and just say one.
I mean, you're right. I should have got negative three, but
yeah, because that's a perfect bit. I can't. I would have said Lauren Dean if I'd have been forced to name it, because I would have figured you know the movie and then, you know, those top three. And that's what I was saying before. Like, if it is Gattaca, it has to be Ethan Hawke, Uma Thurman, Jude Law. It has to be that order. But that's only if it was, in fact, yeah. Gattaca.
Yeah, it's the negative names thing is really interesting, because like the way this game was devised is that, you know, somebody gets to hear a few names and then try to figure it out because the clues right. are so hard. But when you get there based on obviously you're very good with years mm-hmm. and also very good with just, you know, knowing Leonard and his opinions, which is why Jeff needs to, you know, study the entire book.
Yeah, you should also, Jeff, see if you can become friends with Leonard and his family.
Yeah, yeah, just talk and to I'm Leonard trying. About, if you talk to him about every movie, you'd be really good at this game.
Yeah, because when I discuss movies with Leonard, what's great about it is I'll say the movie, and then he'll be like, oh, yes, of course, I remember that one from 1995, starring Ralph Fiennes, Angela Bassett.
I remember he's always like, every time I bring up a movie to him, he's like, I remember that being a yarn that was too long.
It was an overlong yarn.
It was suffered from overlength, that yarn.
There was too much right? yarn. I ended up with a giant sweater.
The first conversation I have with him, I'll just force him to relitigate his 2 stars for Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and then that's it. We won't be friends.
Well, he used to do, and probably will again someday, a thing where Leonard would sit in front of an audience, like at Fantastic Fest or, you know, places, film festivals, I guess. And he would just let people get up one at a time and tell them a case where they thought he was wrong. And then he would, you know, discuss it like a gentleman.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. It was called You're Wrong, Leonard Maltin. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Did they record some of those, Sam?
I think they did. It would have been a shame if they didn't.
Yeah, so it might be part of his podcast if you guys want to go check it out. And it's a really fun exercise, because everybody that, you know, is a movie fan that has been reading Leonard's reviews, there's just one that sticks in their craw. And they really, you know, you're not going to convince Leonard to change his mind about a movie. You know, that's not what he does. But he can certainly concede that, you know, others liked it more than he did, or, you know, whatever. I'd like to get in, I think mostly people say when they thought he gave a movie a bad review that deserved a good one, I'd go the other way with it, and I'd tell him some movie that he liked that I thought was shit. Yeah,
Citizen Kane is overrated.
Oh no. His blood will boil if you say that
mm-hmm.
to him.
Mm-hmm. Casablanca, good for its day.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's
Do you really
right
feel
Leonard.
That way?
No, I think that those are great movies, but if you really do want to have that conversation, I think it's wrong to say like, oh, Casablanca is a better movie than The Godfather. No, it isn't. Like,
what
they
about,
weren't allowed to tell
say,
the stories.
What about if I say Fast Five is better than The Godfather?
I mean, you know, it's going to be hard to argue against that. That movie had a giant safe being dragged down. Was it the streets of Miami?
No, they were in Brazil.
Oh, was it Brazil? I just remember there were palm trees.
Wherever it was, lives were lost, and then the characters laughed about it later.
That's exactly right. And so much property damage. Oh, hey, but yeah.
Were
no,
you upset
I,
at
I,
the end of Cliffhanger that it wrapped itself up?
That the story was concluded?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or did it end with an actual cliffhanger?
It did end with an actual cliffhanger. I mean, literally at the end of the movie, Stallone is hanging off the end of a cliff.
Oh, wow.
When the credits start rolling, you don't find out if he lives or not?
No, he lives. They're all safe on top of the mountain, but
you got to see the follow-up movie, Resolution.
All right. Well, Jeff, you're of course will live to fight another day. Hopefully we can do this again sometime. And what would you like to promote, Jeff Tate?
Well, this comes out right away. So Tuesday night, November 24th in Knoxville, Tennessee, me and Trey Gallion are doing stand up outside at the Central Filling Station. It's a food truck court.
Yeah, so
it's a court of food trucks.
Food truck food on and enjoy some jokes. in the crisp night air, safely and distantly.
Yeah, it's only $10. That's all. That's it. And all my stuff is on Bandcamp now. I got all my albums from this year is on Bandcamp, jefftate.bandcamp.com.
Fantastic. Nice try, buddy.
Oh, thank you. I was. I feel really bad about Alan Arkin.
It's impressive that you even could go through, say the word Gattaca and then go three deep. Believe me, most people listening would not have known that answer.
That's how I'll sleep tonight.
Yeah. Okay. There's other reasons to not be able to go to sleep right now, but yes. Okay. Sam, what about you? What have you got to plug?
Don't forget to, since we're all stuck at home, Immortal on VOD. That's right, Immortal. It's a horror anthology about people being immortal, and I'm in the last segment. So watch Immortal, please, and thank you. I think you'll enjoy it.
What's your favorite segment in the movie?
Mine.
Okay.
No, that's not true. Actually, the great Dylan Baker has another segment in the movie, and his is pretty scary.
Oh, okay.
Tony Todd has a scary one.
Great. Tony Todd.
Yeah.
Yeah, Candyman.
Like, if you like the genre, it's definitely worth your time.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and then I just want to reiterate all of Jeff's plugs.
Oh, okay, great.
Oh, thanks.
My next internet show is on Saturday, December 26th, Boxing Day in Canada at 4:20 Pacific time. Go to rushtix.com to come to that. And we're going to, on the show, in addition to doing stand-up comedy, I'm also going to play a game from Doug Loves Movies, because people always want to see us playing the games, but we, you know, except for weird bootlegs that are out there, I never allow video for this show, because I like to think of it as a radio show, a audio podcast. So that'll be a rare opportunity. $10 gets you in. RushTix.com. That's RushTix.com. Nice. Caca.
Doug, I just remember one more plug. Can I say it real quick?
Of course you did. If I could mute your microphone, I would.
I know, buddy. I'm sorry. You got to find me on Cameo. Doug's there too.
And Jeff is too.
Oh, yeah. That's great. All three of us are on Cameo. Come book us on Cameo.
Come get cameos from me and Jeff and not Sam.
Weird. That's a weird way to plug ourselves, but okay. And get yours from me if you want holiday wishes. Get them in sooner than later, because my Cameo will be off from December 16th through the New Year. So get me before the 16th.
Okay. All right.
Here you go.
Get in there, everybody. And thanks to both of you, Sam Levine and Jeff Tate. Always a great competition when you guys come on. As always, when the moon tells you something, believe it.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.